This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. After taking a suspect into custody today, the investigation into the fatal killing of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk is still ongoing. The suspect, identified as 22-year-old Tyler Robinson. The announcement comes after the FBI released images from surveillance cameras at Utah Valley University and video last night showing the suspect running across the rooftop and jumping off after the shooting. ABC's Catherine Falder says more.
It was really after that video was released that all of this started moving into motion. We were told by sources that, of course, while they had some names, they hadn't at that point identified somebody and didn't know where he was. And obviously we're able to use the public to identify him and, of course, a family member, which we heard in that press conference.
FBI Director Kash Patel says there was an overwhelming public response and they received 11,000 leads. Patel says there's no indication anyone beyond Robinson was involved in the killing. This is ABC News. Following the murder of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee on a light rail train in Charlotte, North Carolina, ABC News has spoken to the victim's families. ABC's Stephanie Ramos has more.
The family of 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee Irina Zarutska, who was murdered on a Charlotte light rail train weeks ago, is speaking out.
Irina was the glue of the family.
For her uncle, justice is about more than the trial. It's about remembering the young woman chasing the American dream.
She wanted better things for not just herself, but for her family, and she was working towards that.
Her family is calling for change to make communities safer.
Police say Brown had a long arrest record. His family says he was not taking his medication for schizophrenia. New details about fashion icon Giorgio Armani's final will. The 91-year-old fashion designer rewrote his will last spring, giving 40% control to his longtime collaborator, another 30% to his niece and nephew. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A Progressive Home and Auto Bundle can protect you round the clock, but we can't protect you from those painful moments in sports.
Oh, I can't believe we blew a 5-touchdown lead.
Sure, but you got to feel like they were going to win for almost the entire game.
But I was about to buy playoff tickets.
So you were prepared for a good time. That's pretty nice.
It's the worst loss any team has ever had.
And you got to witness history.
Okay, we're done here.
Well, at least your home and auto are protected with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayla. Legislation that would require state employees to return to in-office work passes the state assembly.
Sun Prairie Democrat Andrew Heisel, representing a district with a lot of state employees, says remote work's been good for them and taxpayers.
Whose taxes are we going to raise with an explanation that we're making our government more inefficient?
The bill's author, Pleasant Prairie Republican Amanda Ned Wesky, says it simply does what Governor Tony Evers should have done.
This legislation is a direct result of inaction from the executive branch.
It'll need to pass the Senate before going to Evers, who'd likely veto it. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Also at the Capitol, the Wisconsin Assembly held a moment of silence Thursday for assassinated conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
I would ask you all to rise to pause for a moment of silence as we remember those he left behind, his wife, his two young children, and the millions of people who are mourning this senseless act of political violence.
Kirk was gunned down during a speaking appearance at a Utah college campus Wednesday. It was one of two moments of silence on the assembly floor following one for the victims of 9/11 on the 24th anniversary of the terrorist attacks. Wisconsin members of Congress are condemning the assassination of Kirk. Congressman Tom Tiffany on X said Wednesday, "It was a sad day for the nation." He called Kirk a champion for free speech, engaging young people on college campuses, and fostering open debate. Congressman Tony Weed condemned the violence.
No question, this is horrific. It's sickening. There is really no place in this world for political violence.
Posting to X, Congressman Scott Fitzgerald called Kirk's death shocking and horrifying. Also on X, Congressman Mark Pocan posted the following: "Political violence is never acceptable. Gun violence is never acceptable." You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny and summery today with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly prior to midnight, a low of 65. On Saturday, mostly sunny and quite warm with highs in the mid-80s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 75 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Unrest in farm country about the supply chain of the industry. A meeting in Arkansas crystallized that concern and has already advanced the conversation. We've also got an update on trade, more details of the Maha Commission report proposals, updates on E15 and 45Z, and much more in this week's Free For All.
Live from the final hours of a tricky and trying week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all featuring Farm Journal superscribe Chris Bennett and policy OG Jim Wiesmeyer. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich for Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome your Ag Audio Overlord, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis A., thank you so much. Glad that you are with us on this Friday morning. It is report day.
Yep.
We get USDA report in less than an hour. Crop production, supply and demand, world supply and demand updates, world crop production updates. It's an important day. It's USDA's first look at the objective yield plots in the across the Corn Belt for corn and soybean crop estimates, as Dan Bossi explained to us yesterday afternoon, and as we've talked about on the show before, the September report is all about counting, and they are out counting ear populations, and based on what Dan saw on his tour, what we saw on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, they're going to find a record number of ears. That has everybody expecting that we are going to see a sizable national average corn yield estimate from USDA when we get the update at 11 o'clock Central Time. Davis.
I was just going to say, and here's something you can also count on this afternoon. We're going full flip chory on the afternoon show. If you've ever been involved in one of these, basically what I'm going to do is wind Chip up and let him go. We're going to talk reports. We're going to dig in deep. I know he's got a million things to say, and we're going to try and fit them all into this afternoon's program. You don't want to miss it. We're going to go through all the report details.
Very good. Very good. Just one last thing that I will mention very quickly. The investigation in Utah and to the assassination of Charlie Cook, Kirk continues. But they have announced that they have caught the man that pulled the trigger.
Yeah,
saw that too. So there is progress being made there in the investigation into the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Sad day. All right. Yes. Davis, let's get to the markets, or to sure the thing. News.
Excuse sure. Me. I'll start with the weather. With okay. the advance of an upper trough and cold front, relatively cool temperatures are forecast across the Intermountain West this weekend with daytime highs 10 to 15 degrees below normal. That would put them around the 70s or 80s. In stark contrast to the west, some of the central U.S. will see warm above average temperatures eclipsing the mid to upper 90s this weekend. That's exactly what they're forecasting for the Kansas City area. Yeah. We're already warm this morning, pushing toward 80 degrees here as we start the show. Headed for 90s this weekend. Chip?
Yeah, we're heading for mid-80s today, mid-90s coming our way this weekend.
Yep. Well, not a storm in sight in the Atlantic hurricane season, despite it being the statistical peak. Preseason forecasts called for more than the average of 14 hurricanes to form, but so far, Chip, there have only been six storms, with only one reaching hurricane strength. Grain market action was subdued in the overnight as traders looked ahead to today's report updates from USDA. Corn and soybeans and wheat were all fractionally to mildly lower overnight. The U.S. dollar and crude futures were slightly higher ahead of the open. As I look across the markets here, buddy, it almost feels like a regular day. Corn is yeah. higher, feeder well, cattle are lower, you know? I feel yeah, good.
It is a regular day until we get to 11 o'clock Central Time this morning and the reports come out. Corn trading 4 to 5 cents higher, soybeans 8 to 10 cents higher. So, and a little bit of pressure on the wheat markets here this morning.
There's no telling where we wind up here, but analysts polled by Reuters on average expect a moderate cut to USDA's corn yield forecast and a slight cut to its projected soybean yield in today's report. On average, those analysts anticipate a corn yield forecast of 186.2 bushels per acre and 53.3 bushels per acre yield on soybeans. But like I said, anybody's guess what that print actually looks like.
There is a process that is in place, and we've got to be part of it.
Well, Brazil's farmers harvested a record 171.47 million metric tons of soybeans and a record 139.67 million metric tons of corn in the 24-25 season. This, according to Brazilian crop agency CONAB, this from its final grain production report. The final numbers represent a 1.82 million metric ton increase in soybean production and a 2.67 million metric ton rise in total corn production compared to CONAB's August forecast. U.S. Treasury Secretary Bessent will meet with Chinese Vice Premier He Lifeng in Madrid, Spain next week to discuss trade, economic, and national security issues. In another sign that talks between the two sides are making progress, Washington and Beijing have reportedly engaged in communications this week, smoothing the path for a potential summit between Chinese Premier Xi Jinping and our own President Trump. Let's cut it off there and run over to Jennifer. What do you say?
Excellent. Thank you very much, Davis. Appreciate that. Jennifer is Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Livestock mandatory reporting, wholesale pork reporting is mission critical. That's the headline on an item there at www.porkbusiness.com. Tell us about it. What's important here?
Well, you know, this is an area that's not always my comfort zone. And so when I saw this report come out, I knew I needed to go talk to the experts right away. And so I had a really great conversation with Glenn Tonser, and he helped break down what they looked at in this report. But it's interesting, you know, LMR has been around since, oh, probably about 20 years or so, but wholesale pork reporting didn't begin until 2013. And so we've seen a lot of changes in our industry since since then, and big changes to the pork cutout number. And so that's becoming more and more important in all those market transactions. So this review went and took a look at, you know, how has the industry changed since we started? What procedures do we need to adapt and so forth? And so they did a really deep dive, lots of charts and graphs, lots of things that I don't understand. But at the end of the day, one of the big takeaways is this is super important, and producers and the industry really want to see this continue. But there are some things that could maybe be done to make it a little bit better. And so their report goes into some of their suggestions to USDA on things that they could improve. But really, there was a resounding big support of it and recognition of how critical this data is to help us in our marketplaces.
Yeah, it's all about transparency and what is happening in the meat trade in particular. You would like to think that it's that we could make it voluntary and it would all work out just fine. But this is, as your headline says, it is mission critical information for the market's efforts to establish a fair price every day. Jennifer, thank you so much. Jennifer Scheich, get more at www.porkbusiness.com. Free for all's next.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
At United Animal Health, we all share a love for animals. We have devoted our lives to agriculture and to the well-being and productivity of animals. With our guiding principle to always have the best answer, we listen to the animal and let the animal tell us what works and what doesn't. We know that if the animal is healthy and productive, so is the producer, the consumer, and our communities. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
At a certain point, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols, because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent quality performance from every seed. Performance that can pay off with better soybean yield. Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready?
Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. Come on in here, Jim. I want to get you in here right away if we can. because it's time for this week's Free for All. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer from Wiesmeyer's Perspectives podcast. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Well, pretty dark week here with the events that we saw with Charlie Cook.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk.
Dude, I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing. I apologize for doing it, but we've known Charlie Cook for so long that it automatically comes out of my mouth sometimes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Charlie Kirk. You're exactly right. A dark day for us, Jim, no question. Okay, stand by. We're going to bring in Chris Bennett from Farm Journal. He joins us right now. Chris, it is good to see you, man. How are you?
Hey, Chip, it's good to be on here with the best in the business. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. And guys, I'm going to go straight to a report that Chris filed on AgWeb this week. And I'm going to steal from it as we go here. But this is to set the stage for this part of the conversation. Field representatives from the office of Senator Tom Cotton, Senator John Bozeman, and Representative Rick Crawford, along with a rep sent by Governor Sarah Sanders, initially intended to speak with a handful of growers in Brooklyn, Arkansas. And, Chris, that's what it started out to be, but it turned into a whole lot more than that, didn't it?
Yes, sir. That's in northeast Arkansas, Chip. Brooklyn's really is essentially Jonesboro. That was on a Tuesday, and that meeting was announced 3 days prior. Rice harvest is going on, corn, soybean as well. So that tells you that normally you have a meeting on a Tuesday in the middle of harvest. No one's going to show up, but very, very minimal amount of people. The building was packed. There was a wraparound line to get in. I've seen numbers estimating everything from 250 to 500. I don't know the exact number. Point is, they came in droves with major league concerns.
What was their message? What is their number one concern here, Chris?
They took the mic and they addressed, as you said, reps of those senators and reps. In other words, it wasn't Cotton or Bozeman or Crawford, and it certainly wasn't the governor, but it was somebody standing in for them. And the farmers that took the mic addressed everything from commodities to inputs to suicide. The gamut, the entire gamut. So anecdotes are beginning to change into something concrete, if I could, Chip. In Arkansas, you know, it's almost a morbid fascination at this point for some people as to why growers in Arkansas or in the Mississippi Delta appear to be in a worse financial condition than others in surrounding states or up north. You can conjecture all you want. You've got rice and cotton, two of the crops that are obviously suffering the worst in conjunction with the others. You've got fellows who have to spend an inordinate amount on killing insects, controlling weeds. You know, it's the Amazon, essentially. You've got labor that you have to factor in. You have to send out irrigation crews. You have to water. And some of these guys literally, you know, $100 an acre or more for chopping crews, right?
Right.
So you factor all of that in, and it's happening in real time. One of the points of the meeting of these farmers was, hey, got guys going under here, and whether or not they can make it to next February, March, April, it's coming. Now, since I wrote that article, Chip, let me emphasize, when I wrote that article, my email, my text, my phone blew up with growers from across the country, not just Arkansas, not just Mississippi, Illinois, Minnesota, guys saying, hey, that's me. You are writing about me. And obviously, you know, the article also points to the monopoly input situation.
Yeah, Chris, when you talk about emails and phones blowing up, I got emails and text about your article and people saying, listen, this is real. This is happening out here. Jim, it's not – is it primarily a southern issue, or it seems like it's a little more widespread than cotton and rice country.
Oh, it's absolutely widespread. I know I wrote about this the day after the meeting, and they heard from the ag bankers. This is what got the farm state lawmakers from Arkansas so concerned. It starts with the ag bankers, and I haven't seen this since the 80s. We're not as bad as the mid-80s because we have better support system, but there's a major cash flow drain. Now, I know there are listeners in the audience who say they want trade, not aid, and all that. But you go down to the South, and you go down to the areas that don't have a tight basis. So you go to North Dakota, South Dakota. You talk to them, and I've been to all those states, Chip. We have a cash flow crisis in real crop production, period.
Yep, no doubt about it. Chris, I mentioned it earlier. You just mentioned it, and I want to talk about it a little bit more. There was real emphasis on some of the monopoly structure on the supply side of the ag industry. The group that was there, at least a vocal portion of the group that was at that meeting in Arkansas, really wants to take a look at the business structure on the supply side of agriculture, don't they?
Yes, sir. Chip, this is a real talk. This is what you would hear at the seed house or the church house or the ball field. And it's simply, I guess you could, they would argue it's common sense talk. Hey, look at the numbers here. The gentleman in the article, Bailey Buffalo, he made a very reasonable point. And he said, hey, there's a split here between farmer crisis and agriculture industry crisis. And I think the gentleman has it right, because it's the farmer at the bottom that shoulders the load in the end. And once you cut through all the fancy talk, it's the man in the field, boots in the dirt, is sitting there. Now, I'm not smart enough to know where to put blame. I don't claim that for one second. But I think their point is fair, and that is, hey, someone look at the basic setup and the basic numbers, and if you're fair-minded, you can at least smell something is off.
Yeah. Jim, this has been a conversation for decades that there's been farm groups out there that have tried to put a focus on the consolidation on the input side of the industry, and here we are.
Unless you can show monopolistic things. Yeah. Let's just go to the beef packing industry. Are they making money now? No. So where's Senator Elizabeth Warren now in her near monthly questioning about all the money they're making? It ebbs and flows in the industry. As far as fertilizer costs, this country, through regulations in the 1980s, drove most of our fertilizer production out of this great country. So there's some history here, okay? Equipment's down to a few companies, you know. Part of the problem is that these equipment is so expensive right now that a difference, I don't have to look at business records anymore. I can tell if a farmer's going to get by between now and next spring if they didn't buy new equipment, etc. I'll put part of the blame on Congress. The reason they dallied around to get a new farm bill, and we finally got it through the OB3 bill, and but that's not going to come until the fall of 2026.
Right.
So that's not going to solve everything. But then you're coupled with the trade policy. We have short-term not for corn. We've got robust corn trade, but soybeans are just at the mercy of China. So it's a complex issue, but we have to look at both the demand, domestic and international, and the support mechanisms, and they both need improvements, Chip. All of them need improvements.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They do. We need to continue to monitor the development of this. And Chris, I made the comment to Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company yesterday that it feels like we are at the start of an uprising in a revolt against input costs out there. And you're kind of right there covering it for us, buddy. Keep up the good work, and we will rely on you for more as this story develops, all right?
Thank you all for having me.
You bet. Chris Bennett, Farm Journal reporter there. You can get the story at agweb.com. The title on that one is Outraged Farmers Blame Ag Monopolies as Catastrophic Collapse Looms. All right, Jim's going to stick with us. We've got a lot of ground to cover on the free-for-all. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
If you want bigger yields, you got to start with better soil prep. And Great Plains Vertical Tillage can help you get the most out of every acre. Turbo Chisel leaves your ground level for one-pass tools in the spring. Max Chisel slices and buries residue with Samurai Edge blades. Ultra Chisel handles your toughest post-harvest conditions. And the VT1500 Subsoiler resets those yield-robbing compaction layers deep below the surface. Talk to your local Great Plains dealer or visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Maximum yield starts here.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. October milk up 5 to 16.37. November down 10 to 16.21. December down 8 at 16.70. January down 11 at 16.86. Triple-digit losses in the live and feeder cattle markets as the market struggles to find any type of stable support in the futures contracts. As some of the cash markets were lower, the WASD report was viewed as mixed for the beef complex. Hog markets also moving mostly lower as the market can't get past those resistance levels, even though pork cutout values were higher. And the WASD report was viewed as supportive for the hog markets. October live cattle down 220 to 230.07. September feeder cattle down 327 to 350.195. October hogs down $1.22. to 96.95. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly higher. Soybeans also higher. Wheat markets are mostly lower. WASD report for corn showing the outlook for greater supplies, larger exports, and a slight reduction in ending stocks for the soybeans. It's higher production, higher crush, lower exports, and higher ending stocks. But soybeans, though, still moving mostly higher. Some technical buying in the market. Wheat markets, again, moving mostly lower. New crop corn up 1.5 to 421 and a quarter. New crop beans up 9 to 1042 and a half.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us for the free-for-all. We're down to Michelson and Wiesmeyer here on the free-for-all for the rest of the show. And you know what? I think that's a good thing because we need to dig into some of these issues out there. Jim, this conversation that we just had with Chris Bennett, you touched on it. There is going to be an effort in Congress to provide some sort of financial relief before we get to the fall of 2026, isn't there?
Yeah, I'll almost. I can't promise much from this town, but I'll guarantee you it's so much cash flow drain or need that you will have something by the end of this year. And I also got a quick email, Chip. Equipment costs are much different for U.S. growers as opposed to South American growers due to EPA and OSHA regulations imposed on U.S. equipment not required on the same equipment being exported to South America. So I'll have to dig into that one.
Yep. Okay, now I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm doing this just simply because it is part of the conversation that is happening in social media, and I've received some messages about it. The comment is, if Congress delivers some financial aid to farmers, it's going to remove the opportunity for the markets to correct themselves because farm payments go straight through to the input suppliers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's the fact of life. But you've got so much difference in American agriculture that that we just heard the South, and it's just not the South, you know. A lot of farmers don't have that tight basis. They don't have those river markets. They don't have ethanol facilities right in their backyard that they can, that they have more bidders, et cetera. So, we're going to have to look at this complex all over again from a support mechanism because you need farm programs. When the prices are not just low, but very low, and that's the situation we have right now, Chip, and the Title I program is found wanting for a timeline, and that's going to have to be looked at.
But there are listeners out there right now that are saying, no, it's not that grain prices are too low, it's that input costs are too high. And I'm hearing that loud and clear more than I've ever heard it before.
Do they offer solutions? Do they offer solution?
No.
Do they
no.
do and they the want the is, White House to buy the equipment companies again? Like they're, you know, is that the solution?
You know, and I ask all the time, do we need a legislative fix to input prices? And the answer is very quickly, no, we just need the markets to respond. Well, the only way that the markets are going to respond, the input supplier markets are going to respond, is if farmers adjust their buying patterns, and if they get another financial support check, they're not going to adjust their buying patterns.
Yeah, let's go down history, Chip. Remember years ago when Pat Roberts initially wanted freedom to farm?
Freedom to farm, 1996.
Yeah, unless you have freedom to fail, freedom to farm did not last, and that's why it didn't. So the freedom to fail, lawmakers don't like that. They don't like it. And that's why you'll have support mechanisms, period.
Right.
It's not for the I states. It's not for the I states. Hear me clear. It's for outside the I states.
Yeah. Yep. Jim, and the other point that I think is very necessary in all of this conversation is a point that you made. I don't remember if it was last week or even me. I think it was just this last week. But this is about more than farm finances. This is about food security, which means it's about national security. And that's one of the reasons that I think you're exactly right. There is going to be aid available before the end of the year. I think that's exactly right, Jim.
Yeah, you're going to have your ag economist in the next year or so. This is what I think I said last week, Chip. In the next few years, put out monographs or whatever they call them, looking at the possibility of that you need a certain level of income for food security. Now, I know that's a sensitive issue in farm country in America. Right. You know, are you talking about a minimum income? But that's what you're going to get into in this debate, because the amount of money that it costs right now, not only to get into agriculture, but to stay in agriculture, you know?
Yep.
So we have multi-levels of concerns here. Farm labor, how to get it, how to keep it. The input cost, as you said, the chemicals, the equipment, regulations. The trade policy that's just really tripped up. Look at not just soybeans, but corn to a degree, but sorghum. Look at China and the lack of China's purchases of sorghum, beef. Right. So, this is a complex issue that's going to have to be right-sized. And I think once we get a solidification of whatever trade policy we're going to have for the future, we're not going to be out of the soup, and that's why short term you're going to have mitigation payments.
Okay. Let's go to the trade issues. What's the update with China? Is China going to make some good faith bean buys?
It's going to take. We need to see deliverables, Chip. Chinese negotiators are signaling that they're going to buy U.S. Soybeans as part of talks aimed at ending the trade war. So that's a little gimme out there. But I wouldn't count on this until you actually see Trump meeting physically with Xi Jinping. But at least the Chinese negotiators are signaling, let's talk, we'll buy U.S. soybeans. Because at the most, you cannot make up for the loss of the Chinese market through other buyers. Maybe 50%, if that, through other markets, Chip. That's why short-term the soybean complex is so upset about this situation. It's a price drain for them.
Yep, you're right.
Let me throw this in, too, while we're talking trade. We didn't get to this in the news. U.S. and India close to resolving differences over a trade deal, according to Sergio Gore, President Trump's pick for ambassador to India. However, India's purchases of Russian oil remain a sticking point. Jim, I'm curious, because we've talked before on the show, India's going to be a tricky one to get. They'll kind of maybe slow play this in, and we're on again, we're off again, we're on again. How much does their relationship with China impact India's trade negotiations with the United States?
It does a lot. Absolutely. And this is a big pickle, because why isn't Trump pointing fingers at China for all these buys of Russian oil?
Yeah.
Why pick on India? So this is not a consistent pattern here. But as far as India is concerned, they had to react because they need that oil, and they're looking at China buying all this oil, and they're not they're not being chastised. But as far as any trade agreement, again, I want to see proof, because you can get to the 1 yard line, and it's like you're against the Packers, you ain't going to get across that 1 yard line, because I can't trust India when they're trade negotiations.
Is that our light sweet WTI crude oil that you're talking about that they've got designs on, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So, we need a Indo-Pacific trade policy. This is why Marco Rubio came into the State Department, and he's having to bite his tongue probably to guard against China.
Right.
We need India. We need India.
Yeah. Yep. And Jim, you've made reference to this a couple of times, but the measurables are changing on this. A phone call or a handshake here or there used to be good news. Now it's gotten to the point that we actually need to see President Trump and President Xi talking and agreeing on issues before it's going to have a positive impact on what's happening out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
E15, let's do that. California has approved E15 use. That's old, but I think it's still important to the conversation here. And now the legislation has been tied to which bill in Congress?
Is it the defense spending? The Department of War, I guess we call it now.
Yeah.
That one or some defense bill. Grassley is pretty optimistic on that. We'll see if that happens. I hope it does.
But is he going to get Thune to come along on that, Jim?
Well, Thune will come along. He better come along. I think Thune is a ferocious supporter of corn-based ethanol. It's called South Dakota, you know.
It's called Brewing Industries.
Yes. And California, though, Chip, it's very good news, except at the earliest we're talking 2026. I did a timeline on that last week until it really starts, being utilized in earnest. So, let's just say if I was a farm state lawmaker, including Thune, because he has the mega voice now, you have to have, we're going to have, I don't care what the carryover is today or what the crop is, it's just going to be too much corn, too much soybeans.
Yeah.
That means you have to have demand. You got to get rid of it. So that means export market, which gets us back into the trade dilemma right now that we're in, awkwardness, what's the solution and all that, what's the end zone, plus domestic utilization. That's your biofuels program. That's your domestic food aid, international food aid, et cetera. Where's 45Z program? IRS is so busy implementing the OB3 Act relative to these tax cuts that it could be spring of next year before we see the regulations on sustainable aviation fuel.
Right. Okay. Whew, man, that was a quick segment right there. And we've got a lot more that I want to cover. The Maha Commission report, screw worm update, inflation rate. We've got more to do with Jim.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Joining us now, Brian Arnold, Senior Product Manager, Direct Feed Microbials at United Animal Health. Brian, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, thank you, Chip. Glad to be here.
Glad that you are here. Animal health is right at the top of the priority list for a lot of producers. And when it comes to managing that pig health, it helps to drive profitability. And co-infections are something that we need to pay attention to, isn't it?
Right, yes. We think about, managing pig health and in light of profitability, obviously, animal health is critical. And oftentimes, it's easy to find sick pigs in barns, right? We can go in, we can identify those with good animal husbandry. What gets a little more challenging oftentimes is finding the root cause of some of those health challenges. And oftentimes, I think we look for that one thing that may be causing health challenges or disease outbreaks. And in all reality, I think deep down, we understand a co-infection is likely the cause, where we have multiple pathogens at play and multiple stressors contributing to disease.
What do producers need to do to better understand the causes of these co-infections?
Baker, it's a great question. I think it really starts with understanding the big picture. And a big piece of that is good diagnostics. At United Animal Health, we partner with production groups, with health and nutrition teams to utilize our PathConnect surveillance platform. And it's a pathogen surveillance platform. And what that continues to show us is when we go in and we try to work in challenge situations to better understand the clinical picture, oftentimes there's more than one pathogen that are causing issues at the sow farm and even downstream.
Where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, so you can go online and visit unitedanh.com to learn more, and we hope to hear from you.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. That is Brian Arnold, a senior product manager at United Animal Health.
When you're an expert on soil and crops, you're a soil scientist. When you're an expert on the weather, you're a meteorologist. And when you're an expert on soybeans, you are an Asgrow farmer. Like you, Asgrow brand is relentlessly focused on soybeans, with localized products featuring leading genetics and weed management systems. It all works together to give you maximum profit potential. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential of every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.34% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back. We've got Davis, Jim, and me here on the free-for-all on AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us. Jim, quick update on the status of the Supreme Court. When are they going to hear the case on the tariffs?
Well, September 19th, briefs, and then October 20th, responses. And then in early November, hearings on it. So that suggests at the earliest, by the end of the year, we could get a Supreme Court ruling, if not going into early 2026, Chip.
Man, that's moving quick for the SCOTUS, isn't it?
This is very important. This will big the big kahuna on the trade thing. Now, the administration has other tools, but they're not accelerated use of this. But this will determine whether or not Trump has more authority over this trade area via an emergency declaration than what is now most lawyers think he does not. So we'll see.
Right.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. The MAHA Commission released its proposals. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show this week, Jim, but I want to get your take. What are your thoughts on the quote-unquote proposals that were released?
Well, it's the next one that's the most important. This latest one, there were two responses from farm groups that I thought were the best. The other ones were just rah-rah. I mean, they were happy that pesticides were not dealt with all that much, you know, and glyphosate and atrazine wasn't even mentioned. But the American Soybean Association issued a statement, said that it remains concerned about the misinformed rhetoric from some commission members, Chip, about around edible soybean oil.
Right.
And they said not only is soybean oil backed by decades of science confirming its safety, it's also a vital domestic market. Now, the pork producers, they also noted unease about how the plan might influence perceptions of livestock production. You know, they said that they of course, they share the goal of improving children's health, but they urged the administration to avoid proposals that would unfairly portray safe, regulated, and affordable protein sources, such as pork, as part of the problem rather than part of the solution. Those were two really good comments. As far as the future, once the Trump administration defines ultra-processed foods, and it's going to come, by the end of this year, that's when the real focus comes, because those products take up the majority of the center aisles in every supermarket.
Right.
And I'm seeing hedge funds thinking they're going to get millions of dollars, Chip, in court cases as food companies have to go to court to defend some of their products. You watch that as the next step in this MAHA development.
Yeah. Yeah, and those center aisles contain a lot of food products that contain a whole lot of soybean oil and contain a whole lot of high fructose corn syrup. So that is, I agree with you, that is something that we have to watch very, very closely. There was a section in the proposals about new approach methodologies. And I'm like, new approach methodologies, what the heck are they talking about? They even put an acronym on it, NAM, NAMS. The expanded use of NAMS can enable earlier, more predictive insights into chronic disease mechanisms using human-relevant models such as organoids, computational simulations, and real-world data integration. This improves prevention, diagnosis, and personalized treatment strategies while reducing reliance on animal studies that often fail to replicate complex human conditions. The EPA and the FDA and the NIH have all committed to using NAMS moving forward. To me, Jim, what that means is somebody on the commission said, I don't like the way that research has been done to this point. We're going to change it so that the results meet our narrative.
Well, I'll tell you, I was a participant and at a Future of Food Conference 2025 this week, Chip, one of the best conferences I attend each year.
Yeah, ING Securities, ING Securities, yeah.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it always
But
is.
I'll tell you how I would translate what I hear from the industry and government people. And it's not just artificial intelligence that's going to speed some of the individualized medicines. Look at the weight reduction shots. They'll soon be pills, maybe by the end of the year. That's going to dramatically change the food sector. We're going to have individualized foods for people. It's just what I heard down in that conference is it's the challengers of change is just beginning, Chip. But it still means the need for protein. Okay? We're going to live longer. We're going to live longer. You saw Xi Jinping and Putin talk about living up to 150 degrees with some organ
150
transplants.
Years.
Yeah, yeah. And artificial insemination. There's a whole nother market for the future. But I'm telling you that this industry is going to be dramatically changed. I think primarily because the predictive ability of artificial intelligence. Not that it'll help you write a report, but the predictive ability that scientists and researchers are using it. I'm seeing it in the seed industry right now. The seed company officials are telling me artificial intelligence is helping them speed the process to even new and improved genetics and new seeds. Yeah. So I would say I would take the other end. I would say I think the government is seeing some of this potential for the future, Chip.
Okay. We'll see how that one plays out. Good stuff, Wiesmeyer, as always. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate
you. Sure.
Don't forget, give a Google for Wiesmeyer's Perspectives podcast, and you can get Jim's take on that on his podcast as well. A couple of things to watch for today and next week. We get the FOMC meeting next week. We're looking for a cut in the Fed funds rate. There's going to be a screwworm update from USDA today. And, of course, we've got the USDA crop production supply and demand reports coming up in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for joining us this morning. Davis and I will have the details of the USDA reports this afternoon right here on AgriTalk.
Do you have what it takes to overcome challenges, raise more bushels, and grow a long-lasting legacy on your operation? Absolutely. At Peterson Farm Seed, our agronomy-first mindset will help you reach that potential and maximize returns on every acre. Peterson Farm Seed. We're that kind of seed company. Visit PetersonFarmSeed.com today, or better yet, stop by our headquarters in Prosper, North Dakota.
At a certain point, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zatavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols, because 11 wasn't enough, all to ensure that you get consistent quality performance from every seed. Performance that can pay off with better soybean yield. Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Hi, everyone. Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis here from Legal Help Center. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up, because we have legal professionals standing by right now to answer your questions for free. You can find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. The call is free. The consultation is free. And you can speak with a live agent right now. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident of any kind, call now to find out if you have a case and how much you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon. You heard it, folks. If you've been injured, call and find out how much you qualify for. Call 800-948-5880. That's 800-948-5880. 800-948-5880. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Utah's Governor Spencer Cox.